listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Prince.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to the Sunday's edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio and also being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. As I always start my shows out, folks, we are a viewer-supported station, so if you like what they're doing at either one of these networks, please try and reach into your pocket, throw a few bucks in the kitty. I know times are tough right now, but any support they can get, they would greatly appreciate. I'm going to start my show by thanking my producer for putting up with me every week, Steve Rogers. Roberts, I wouldn't know what I'd do without you. I even got your name wrong there, Steve. Isn't that great? But anyway, Steve's a great guy, and he puts up with me every week, so thanks, Steve, for what you're doing. I'm joined today by the man I call the Duracell Bunny, so everybody knows that Roger Landry is back in the house. I haven't talked to Roger in about 3 weeks, I think it is now, and I know there's some crazy stuff going on in the States, and I think there's a pretty important day coming up there in a couple days from now, isn't there, Roger? And I know you want to talk about the vice president running for president right now today. So let's get right into to Dirty Joe. Welcome to the show, my friend.
How are you?
I'm revved up today, Roger, because you know what? I've been surfing around the internet today, buddy, and you know I'm watching the world just absolutely go crazy. So maybe you can bring me down a little bit this hour and try and make sense of some of the stuff I'm seeing going on, especially down in the States right now with this election 2 days away. Let's talk about it, buddy.
Yeah, well, there's a place we have to start that most people won't understand, so we're going to have to probably go a little bit deeper into that. But I want to start this off by saying, Dirty Joe, Sleepy Joe, Crazy Joe, whatever you want to call him, okay? He is not qualified to run for president of the United States. He is not. He has been implicated in felonies. He has been implicated in issues that border on sedition. He has been implicated in covering up information about pedophilia. He has been implicated in. Now, when everybody says, okay, everybody can say anything they want, but you got to be able to prove it. Alrighty. How about Hunter Biden's laptop? How about Bobulinski's cell phones? How's about, and I could go on, there are literally over 100,000 emails. I don't know how many audio files. I don't know how many incriminating images that Giuliani has already turned over to the Delaware State Police because they are just downright absolutely criminal. Gee, how would Giuliani know that? It's not only what he's been doing most of his life, but he has a whole team of lawyers working for him who nearly went through a heart attack when they saw even the beginning of these images. So what we are looking at, okay, is an individual, and no, Joe didn't do all of this, but Joe was aware of this, and the implications are, And Bob Alinsky's jumped up, and they got another partner who's in jail who's already turned over his laptop, too. And they had to move him to a secure cell so that he would stay alive. He wouldn't be suicided. And all of this runs up against an individual who is running for president of the United States. He is not qualified to run for president of the United States. But who the hell besides me is even saying this? If even one-tenth of what is already provable due to the proof, the laptop, so on and so forth, if even one-tenth of that, if even one-hundredth of that, because there's a lot of it and it's very incriminating, is true, Joe is not qualified to run for president. He isn't. But he is. He's running for president, and the mainstream media ain't saying jack, except to say maybe this was a Russian thing. Let me explain something to you. Bob Alinsky, when he jumped in there with Tucker and started talking about this in front of the American public, well, most people don't understand if they don't read the same stuff that you and I tend to read, Barry, online. What most people don't understand is that there were a bunch of documents that were sent, okay, overnight to Tucker and Balinski where they were doing this recording or whatever. It was for the media for these segments that were being recorded. Well, of course, they didn't get there because they disappeared. That made the news.
Yep.
Okay. Everybody out there thinking that those were the originals of the only copies, please don't be an idiot, all right? The reason why those documents were intercepted was not because they are the originals, and I'll explain that in a second. The reason they were intercepted is so you can talk about anything. That how do you put that into context? But if you're talking about something, you have the actual document in your hand and you can turn it around and show it to the camera, can you imagine how much more impact that has? Those documents never got there, but for anybody out there who believes that documents this critical, where the originals were just rounded up and put in an envelope and sent cross-country to some media organization, yeah, that's never going to happen. And the only person who would ever even do something that stupid would probably be Joe or Hunter Biden. But anyway, go ahead, Barry.
Well, all I can say, Roger, you know, I've been looking at this a lot in the last week, and I've listened to the interview between Tucker and Bob Alinsky, and you know what, man? How much longer is the mainstream media going to be able to protect Joe? This really needs to come out here, and I know there's going to be some stuff. There's going to be some stuff released tomorrow. I understand that. You know, if I was sitting in Donald Trump's position right now, like him or hate him, I'd be going after this right to the throat right now because the evidence is all there. It's in black and white. They've got the laptop. I mean, it doesn't become any more clear what's going on here, and yet the mainstream is still trying to cover for them. They're not going to be able to do it too much longer, Roger. I don't believe they will be able to do that even for another week or two because this is really coming out now.
Well, the whole thing here is it's going to be a whole lot harder to knock him off of his throne after he is elected, if he gets elected. I personally don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that baby Bubba Joe is going to get elected. I really don't, okay? But let's say he does, again, this would be a means to unseat him. It would. What would that accomplish, though? Stop and consider that. What that would accomplish is exactly it would accomplish exactly what they want and why the 25th Amendment was ever mentioned in the first place. When the 25th Amendment was mentioned, everybody out there panicked. They're going to try and prove Trump is incapable of holding the office, and they're going to kick him out. No. The 25th Amendment, Pelosi brought it out and dusted it off because they know that Crazy Joe is going to start to do some real stupid things if he does get elected. They want to be able to move him aside very quickly and put, yep, you guessed it, Kamala in charge. And I got to tell you something, that's when I leave America.
Well, don't come to Canada because we're dealing with turd head, buddy.
Oh, I know.
I would trade you right now. I would trade as much as I don't. There's things about Trump I don't like. I trade you in a heartbeat for turd head right now because what he's doing up here, Roger, is beyond insanity. Go ahead.
Let's put that into context. All right, let's put into context exactly what a vast majority of America's relationship is with Trump. Because for anybody, excuse me, rough throat, for anybody who doesn't understand, this is not about polls. The polls lied in 2016. Gee, how do we know that? Because every poll said Trump was going to get his butt kicked and he won. Okay, this is about optics. What was the one thing we saw through the entire 2016 election period? What we saw was Trump going to rallies that were jam-packed, tens of thousands of people, and Hillary was lucky to be able to fill up a school auditorium. All right. I want you to understand that we were still told, and you remember this by every poll, that Hillary was going to kick the damn rug, or jerk the rug right out from under Trump, and that was going to be it. He would go away embarrassed. Didn't happen. I want you to understand something. This is where the perspective comes in. All right? He won because he got more of the black vote than he was supposed to. I'm going to tell you, his reach into the black voting community has almost doubled. He won because of the percentage of Hispanic vote that he gleaned from the Democrats. I want to tell you something. Right now, the amount of support he has from Hispanics is almost tripled. I want to tell you about, and I could go on and on, every single metric that was combined to give him a win that dropped the jaw of people all across this planet. How the hell did he win? Every one of those metrics has gone up. Every one of them. And the milestones that were set by Hillary in each state just before the election, Joe Biden is falling far short of meeting. So what I just told you is, Joe can't even do as well as Hillary did, and Trump's doing a hell of a lot better than he did in 2016. Hold on a minute, everybody. Didn't he win in 2016? People, go by the optics. Just go by the damn optics, because the polls are a manufactured mainstream media lie, and the mainstream media has turned from the guardians of this republic to a traitorous mechanism embedded in this republic. Go with your eyes. Go with what you see. Do your own research. Look at, almost done, Barry. Look at this, okay? And there's an article about this on the Liberty Beacon. If you consider that the other day, Joe had a car parade that contained, some people said 15, they lied. There were actually 21 cars in this car parade. 21 cars for Joe Biden, who is supposed to be smashing Donald Trump. Donald Trump, they had an impromptu parade where they just sent the word out saying, everybody meet up. The local police and the sheriff's office estimated that well in excess of 30,000 vehicles took part. 21 versus 30,000. Oh, yeah, Joe's killing it. He's killing it.
Well, Roger, you know what? If we wake up Wednesday morning and Joe Biden is president of the United States, you will see a civil war in the United States erupt.
Well, If it does happen, and there's a possibility, okay, nothing's impossible, really. There is a probability, no matter how small, but if it does happen, the first thing that the Trump campaign is going to do is they're going to come down hard on Biden's laptop on Bob Alinsky's connectables, on their other partner who's in prison, who just gave his laptop up and turned on them, flipped on them as well. Yeah. So, yeah. And what
they're going to
come away from this is that Biden was never qualified to run for president.
Exactly. Let me rephrase that, Ralph. If Joe Biden was to be inaugurated and went through and became president, you would see major disruption in the United States of America if it got to that point. And I don't believe he's, like you said, I don't believe he's got a chance in the world of winning this. I've seen the Trump rallies. The best one I saw the other day, you got to laugh at, is the Joe Biden bus, and it was surrounded by Trump trucks with yes. Trump flags. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, Joe was just having a turd in the bus, man.
I laughed so funny. Hard when I saw
like
that.
Like him or love him. It was funny.
It was freaking hilarious. Look,
well, you get 20 people up to a Biden rally, you know, and you get, you know, hate him or love him. I mean, there's just no way that, it, you know, Biden has, like you said, a chance of winning this. But if they steal it, there's going to be a roar on Wednesday morning.
Let's talk about Trump now, okay? Because you said a few things, and I told you I agreed with you. Let's talk about Trump now and ask me why I support somebody I don't particularly care for. When I say that, I'm talking about a man's personality. I'm talking about the way a man presents himself. I'm not talking about what he accomplishes with his attitude or with his drive. I'm going to give you a couple of facts, and you base, okay, who should be in the White House on just maybe try to let this influence you a little bit. If we go all the way back as far as can be remembered, the highest a president in the United States has delivered percentage-wise on the promises made prior to election or re-election is in the low 50%. That was considered having done very well. And you've got the Reagans in there, and there's a few more, but, you know, it's they actually delivered on at least slightly above 50% of the promises they made. Then there's Trump. Trump is always an enigma. He's never freaking normal, okay? His delivery on his promises exceeds 90%. It's unheard of. It's totally unheard of. And if you put that into perspective, do you think people would tend to tolerate his huge ego? This guy has an ego that makes Jupiter jealous. Hell, it makes the sun jealous. But that's him. I'm not knocking him. That's who he is. That's what he is. And if that's the mechanism he uses to get us better trade deals, if that's the mechanism he uses to keep more people employed in the Rust Belt in the United States, if that's the mechanism he uses to pull us out of wars that are doing nothing but draining our pocketbooks, killing Americans and killing innocent civilians, yeah. This is an evil MF-er, and he's got to be jerked out of there. This is all based on the fact that the United States was, when he won 4 years ago, the United States was on the verge of literally being turned into a third world country with very little power and global authority anymore. And you would see a new world order building up around us at the speed of light. Not a joke. As a matter of fact, there's a brand new article on the Liberty Beacon website today that basically says if Joe wins, we will have an accelerated path to the economic collapse of the United States. That is inevitable with Joe in office. That was the intention. That's why Obama set it all up. Hillary was supposed to go in over the next 8 years and seal the deal.
Yeah, and it didn't work out for him. I know. You know, I always have this little nagging voice on my shoulder that anybody that gets to the position that Donald Trump is right now, you know, he's doing some, you know, I admit, I got to agree with you, Roger. He has done some incredible things to the United States of America. And being a person of moral value, which I am in my life, You know I'm a Christian, and you've known that all my life, and we have great conversations. We always kind of keep that out of the conversation, but what I will say about Donald Trump is he's the only president that's come along and has really spoken out as far as pro-life situations go in the United States of America. You look at his stance against abortion, and then you look at Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, who will allow abortion to term. Well, I say to people, that alone, if that doesn't strike you right to the bottom of your heart, that I don't care what your position is on pro-life or women's rights, that people that are willing to support abortion up to a day or right at time a child is coming into the world and they're willing to support abortion for that, that to me, if that doesn't reach people's heart and tell them what these people are really like, what kind of evil, demonic beings that we're dealing with, Roger, I don't know what to say. And that's one thing that I will say on Trump's behalf. Go ahead.
Hold on, because, because again, they always overstep their bounds. What an abortion is an aborted fetus, means it was, whether it was done, you know, it was, again, intentionally. The way they go in with the forceps, so on and so forth, and extract the fetus. Once a child leaves the birth canal, that is no longer an abortion. Terminating that child's life is murder.
Well, that's absolutely.
That is. And anybody who dares to try and tell me anything different, then why do they call it abortion?
Well, I agree, Roger. I just agree in terms of abortion. To me, you know, I believe that life begins at conception. So any abortion to me is murder, but I agree with what you just said. You know, birth canal or not, I mean, that is a human being that's coming into this world. And all I can say is I'm glad my mother didn't abort me, man. I look at the millions of children that are aborted in our country. We see a dropping birth rate in the United States of America. We see our population being displaced, and we see the same thing going on in Canada. And you know, we want to kill our own babies. It just, to me, it just doesn't make any sense at all, period.
By 2025, if things have not taken a serious turn, if we have not corrected this, the only children being born in America will be those of immigrants or illegals. End of story.
People hear that and they can't believe it, Roger, but I know that's a correct statement. Tell people why that's happening right now.
In 2014, last time I could get that specific a number, the United States suffered a 314,000 birth deficit. That's in 2014. I'm going to tell you it's probably easily over a million at this point. Stop and consider what Barry just said. Why don't you tell people why? Okay.
Why we're being displaced?
Who gets more, Gardasil vaccines than just about anybody on the planet? Who gets more vaccines than just about anybody on the planet? What is the most fluoridated population on the planet? What does aluminum do to fertility? What does mercury do to fertility? What does fluoride do to fertility? Because you're looking at the society where all of this stuff is pounced on us from the time we are born. Aluminum is very, very neurotoxic. It really is. The last thing you want is nano-sized particles of aluminum in your brain, because it immediately destroys the synapses between the brain cells so that they can't pass information. Those who have died from Alzheimer's, they have done a cross-section of their brain, and this was done recently. Again, Google it. What they found was that this individual, who shouldn't have lost all of his memory at this early an age, his brain was saturated with aluminum. Now, I'm going to give you a for instance. If you breathe all of this aluminum in, if you get all these vaccines with aluminum in them, you're an adult. The one thing you have going in your favor is that you have a blood-brain barrier. But If you drink fluoridated water, it opens up the blood-brain barrier and allows aluminum in. Now, let's go all the way to the other end of the spectrum. We're talking about our children. If you're on a WIC program, okay, which means you're getting support for your infants, food, medical, whatever, okay? But WIC is basically, that's food. That's to keep, you know, an infant healthy for a mother who has no income. It's a state-supported program. So there are millions of American children on WIC, most of them being of African-American origin, most of them. But when you go in to get the formula, the only formulas that qualify for the WIC program contain aluminum powder as a declumping agent. So you have the smallest infants just out of the birth canal not too damn long ago, and you are feeding them, listen to me, formula that contains particles of aluminum.
Yeah.
You are immediately short-circuiting their brain cells and making them a whole lot less intelligent than they could have been. That's
you're
not a
shattering. Joke. You're slaughtering brain cells. You're slaughtering them by the millions. And then they wonder why we have all these disorders. I looked at the ingredients of these baby foods. It says right on the label, folks, aluminum desolate. I mean, my God, we want to put that into a newborn who hasn't got a brain barrier in his head yet. Doesn't develop in a child till he's 18 months old, Roger. And then you want to put aluminum in a child. And then you wonder why all neurological and all diseases of children in North America are just going right off the charts. I think we're leaving the world in most of them now, aren't we? There's only a few that we're not leading the world in. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, let me give you one that's even more egregious along the same line. If you are pregnant and you go into a doctor and it's flu season, that doctor will recommend that you get a flu shot, okay? And he will convince you that take care of this child. You don't want any sicknesses, any illnesses, whatever, because you share your blood and your body with this child as it develops, which is absolutely true. So the mother gets a flu shot. Those flu shots contain 25 micrograms of ethyl mercury And if you stop to consider that mercury is the most deadly substance to human physiology shy of ionizing radiation, it is that bad. There is no safe limit to it, but it's used as a preservative in vaccines. So I'm going to tell you that the CDC says the limit for an adult is 25 micrograms, which is why that's what's in there. But I have to also tell you something else. There is no safe level. The CDC doesn't tell you that. But stop and think about this. The 25 micrograms was developed on a basis of the average body weight of an adult woman. If you take the average body weight of the average fetus, then who shares the bloodstream with their mother, then that 25 micrograms of mercury, thimerosal, that's what it's called, thimerosal, is now 250 times what the FDA and the CDC says is a toxic level for an adult. I mean, 250 times because of the body weight and the body mass differential. What you have just done when you go in and you get a flu shot while you're pregnant is you have slammed the second most deadly, okay, toxin to the human physiology, short of ionizing radiation, into a still developing brain of a fetus with absolutely no protection whatsoever. And it's not just, it's a tiny bit, it's only 25 micrograms. If 25 micrograms is the limit for a 150-pound woman, and you've got a fetus that weighs a tenth of a pound, what's the differential? The differential is you have given that child 250 times what is supposed to be the limit for that body mass. Barry, how can we expect anything but what we're seeing? And that's just the vaccines. Don't get me started on the geoengineering. Don't get me started on the fluoride. Don't get me started on Monsanto. Don't get me started on, yeah, glyphosate.
Well, why not, Roger?
I could go on and on.
I know you could, and they're all tied together. Right now, between me and Roger, I think realistically we could talk for 3 hours about attacks on the human body, the human soul, the human mind. And what we're seeing right now is just absolute slaughter of the human being. Everything that means is to be good as a human is being taken away from us. Our health, our morality, our culture, everything is being taken away, Roger. It's all coming to a head now. All this stuff that we see, guys, it wasn't, you know, it just didn't come overnight. That, you know, what we're seeing right now is an accumulation of people who sat in think tanks for years and years and years, knew how society would react to the situations they were exposed to, brought those situations forward, and they got the reaction from society. Now we're really going to see the poop hit the fan here in the next little while, Roger. I believe that. I honestly believe that they're really going to ramp this up because they brought out this COVID hoax, and look at the reaction they got, my friend. And now they're going to try and stick a needle in all of us. Thing is, Roger, you know, these people that are wearing masks, I'm scared they're going to be the first ones to roll up their sleeves. What do you think? That's a big question, isn't it? But that's what's coming, my friend. You know, and it's coming from Bill Gates, who is a card-carrying Malthusianist. You know, people don't even know what a Malthusianist is. They go, what's that? Go ahead, Roger. Your thoughts.
What my thoughts are is that we're being tested. And I must tell you that everything that is worth keeping gets tested. And why do I say that? Because if something makes you so happy and so comfortable, it also makes you as a society complacent. And that complacency grows till it gets to the point where it's totally unbearable or something is forced upon us that we will no longer tolerate. These are the ideas Barry was shuffling together in that last comment. And he's right. But here we stand, okay? We're at a crossroad. And I hate like hell to say this, but what happens here on Tuesday will reverberate across this entire planet. It will.
I agree.
That's an absolute fact. When Trump wins again, okay, you are going to see riots in the streets. Now, let's stop and consider this. All right, if Trump wins again, and I'm saying he will, they have promised that every state capital will be under siege and there will be a virtual army in Washington, D.C. to enforce the fact that whether he wins or loses, he's run out of Washington, D.C. Let me explain something to everybody listening, okay? What you just heard, and this isn't from my mouth, this is from Black Lives Matter, what you just heard is absolute sedition. It is a crime. Basically, what was stated is we either get what we want, screw the vote, we're telling you what you better give us, or we will start to destroy your lives. This is exactly what just happened. How many of these people are in jail? Now, hold on. Before anybody even goes there, I'm going to ask you another question, and I want you to slide it right up next to it, okay? What happens if walking down that street was a bunch of white militia? People who took an oath to protect their communities, and yeah, there may be a few blacks in there because that's what is in the community. There may be a few Asiatics in there because that's what's in the community. There may be a few Hispanics in there, but it is not predominantly black or any other race except white because that's the community it comes from. And if they walk down the street the next day, who would you hear more about? Would you hear more about these individuals who in lockstep without causing any problems whatsoever, okay, or the individuals that walked down your street, destroyed your business, burned your cars, and scared the crap out of little old ladies who thought they were going to die? Who do you think is going to end up in the media getting the biggest beating? And if you're going to tell me Black Lives Matter and the riot they cause, you're wrong. You don't live in the same America I do today. You don't. And we've had it. We've had it. If when Trump wins again, these people step up to start destroying America again, that's when you're probably going to see a whole bunch of, I don't know, Americans that have just had enough. The problem with that is this needs to be done in a logical fashion, because what you end up by doing if you do that is exactly what they want you to do. If you think they're afraid we're going to fight them, no, no. There's too many layers of protection between us and them. They're not worried about us coming after them at all. What they need to do to stir up fear, to stir up resentment, to get people so riled up, they grab their guns and they run. What you need to do is exactly what's being done. You need to bring riots to these cities. And when these two sides clash, now what have you got? You've got chaos across the entire country. You literally have open revolution. It is a whole lot easier with a population that is in a traumatic civil war. It is a whole lot easier to stick your hand out and say, look, we have the solution. All you have to do is this. They want us fighting each other. It is the goal. And if we do it, they won. Is a show of force occasionally, you know, like I said, that militia marching through the middle of town, but not burning, looting, or doing anything wrong? Yes.
Can I interject here for a second, Barry?
Go ahead, Steve.
You've known me about 3 years now. Isn't that what I've been saying from day one?
No, no, no. That's what you've been saying since day two. On day one, you said hi.
Well, I'm going to interject, too, and I've been telling people that for years, that if we go to armed confrontation, we will lose. Go ahead, Roger. Finish your thought.
And again, it depends on what you mean by we. Okay? Yeah. If it's popping up against these individuals who are burning and looting, you have to understand that they're a very small portion of the population of the United States, a very small portion. So it's not a matter of being overrun by Black Lives Matter. 86% of blacks polled state that, no, they don't want less cops, they want more cops, and yes, they trust the cops in their neighborhood, 86%. So again, we're not looking at a bona fide public movement here. We're talking about a total group of people that would probably, in a country that's about 350 million people, would probably average far less than 5 million, probably less than 3 million across the entire country. And most of those are paid to do the violence they do. Barry, is there anything that is what it pretends or portends to be anymore?
Yeah, when I say a rise, I'm talking about people rising against the government themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I've said that many times over the years is because I know and you know they have little toys put away that we don't know about. And those little toys might make our guns absolutely null and void. So that's the point I've made over the years. And I honestly believe that if they unleash some of the stuff that they have in their little box of toys, it might be something that we can't deal with. My thought process, your thoughts on that? That's what I was saying. But, you know, the American people rising up against Antifa and stopping this and being peaceful in your enforcement of the American Constitution and your laws, that's what I expect out of Americans. And if the other side wants to go violent, then you're justified in protecting yourself. And if that happened, I think Antifa would get their butts kicked. Myself.
Well, I have said over and over again, and I think to, I don't know, hopefully without wasting words, that Americans are by far the laziest and slowest to react of just about any society on the planet. We are. We're so complacent in our superiority, and yes, I actually said that. We're so comfortable in the fact that who's going to mess with us. We're so that if something like that does happen, okay, it takes a while to actually sink in. But the inverse is also true. We're very, very slow to wake up and shake up. But once we're awoken and we're shoken, the Americans are probably the nastiest people on the planet. And if you remember Hirohito, when he asked Yamamoto to attack California, he looked at his emperor to the shock of the court, because nobody said anything negative to the Japanese emperor. He said, Mr. Emperor, he said, I can't do that. Because if we attack America, there will be an individual with a gun behind every blade of grass.
Well, we do the same thing in Canada, Roger, that Canadians are the most, they're more apathetic, more lazy than Americans. Because Canada, we've never really in Canada experienced any kind of turmoil inside our borders. The turmoil's always gone overseas, we've gone over and fought wars. There's always been wars over there. And Canadians have become so apathetic that they don't recognize, a lot of them still, because they drink the Kool-Aid every night. Unfortunately, a lot of Canadians watch CBC Global every night, and they drink that Kool-Aid, and they go to bed every night, and they believe that's the truth. And unfortunately, we're still dealing with a majority of Canadians that believe that. But I see that changing now. I really do, by the demonstrations that are showing up in Toronto and Vancouver, all over the place, mass demonstrations. People are really starting to wake up here. We're in a war right now, and the enemy is inside the gates, folks. He's right in our face. And some people are starting to recognize that. Some people aren't. We're in a full-blown in Canada right now. Some of the laws that we've just passed, Roger, I don't know if you're following them. I don't want to get into them too depths, too much of a detail, but basically what the government has done in Canada is they have stopped the Canadian people from any kind of accountability for what they are doing. In other words, if they're doing something wrong, there is no accountability right now. Well, you know what that is, Roger? I know what that is. That's called communism, folks. Go ahead, Roger.
Actually, it's a dictatorship.
Well,
but
that's the pretext to communism. Communism and dictatorship are basically the same thing, Roger. Just different variation. Slight different variation, but we are in a communist coup right now in Canada. That we have our government is unaccountable. They're not being held to account by anybody. So go ahead.
And you've got to take a look at what's happening across the entire planet right now. What you have is the United Kingdom. You know, Boris came up and said, hey, we're going into 30 more days of forced absolute lockdown. That's going to absolutely decimate the what's left of the British economy, literally. Okay, why are they doing this? Okay, why are they, when we know for a fact, because we can do the math and we know exactly what's going on, and I can give you facts beyond anything you can believe at this point, we know that COVID-19 is a big lie. We know that it's a control mechanism. We know that it's a fear mechanism. We know that if you're a good little doobie and you wear your leash, which is spelled M-A-S-K, then you're going to make the people who run this country a whole lot more happy. What we're looking at right now is a twofold attack, and it's intended to be that way. Just like with Joe's laptop and all of this, right now, instead of focusing on that, what's the focus? Well, there's riots going on in the streets again. Mm. Gee, that's awful convenient. You know what I mean? And if you take a look at when riots happen, when attacks happen, and I could go on, and focus those against the announcement of news that is critical or sheds bad light on the liberals. So we're looking here at a situation where everything we're being told by the media is a lie. Everything. I published an article on the Liberty Beacon yesterday showing that Donald Trump has a 92% negative reporting from mainstream media. 92%. Which means out of every 10 things he says, 9 point something of them, they don't even give him credit for 1 out of 10. This is what we're looking at. We understand at this point that everything we're looking at all comes down to Tuesday. And that's exactly how Barry started his show. It all comes down to Tuesday. And this is what comes down to Tuesday. If we are complacent and Joe finds his way into the Oval Office, they will have him out in no time. Whether it's Trump's group, whatever. But that won't lose the presidency to them. That'll put the actual person they want in there, and that'll be Kamala. All right? If that happens, we are sliding into a corporatocracy that will literally put you in a situation where you are dependent on the government for any type of support whatsoever. Up to and including, okay, just like they do in China, having so many social points. And if you don't have them, you can't do this. Or if you don't have them, you can't do that. That's already been suggested. They've been doing that in China for several years. That's your one option. And anybody who thinks I'm bullying on that or I'm building it up or exaggerating it, I could give you the proof, as usual, with anything I say. What's the other option? All right? The other option is a guy who actually has delivered on what he said, a guy who has pulled us out of globalist treaties, a guy who has literally saved the jobs of I don't know how many people, made the United States energy independent for the first time in our existence, and I could go on and on. Now, has he got any connections to the same to the people on the other side? Of course he does. Is the collapse of America inevitable with the elitist who own America and Canada and the rest of the world? That's pretty much inevitable. That's what they wish to see. Because if the United States goes down, it will be the biggest peg they have in a new world order. Because they will say, we just took the United States down, the cowboys. Anybody else want to step up? And nobody else will step up, and it will be over. With Trump, we get at least 4 more years to work on a way to make sure this doesn't happen. Because if Trump does not get back into office or gets assassinated or anything along that line, if that happens, the outlook for this country is the worst it's ever been in our history. Because absolutely, those who own the world want to make it go away, and Clinton was supposed to finish the job.
Absolutely. And you know, I've listened to so many doctors on the internet and YouTube videos that are taken down right away, but I've listened to so many of them talk about this vaccine they want to bring forward, this RNA vaccine, Roger. And you know, if the public falls for this, then we really do have a problem on our hands, because nanotechnology, you know about nanotechnology, I know our listeners know about nanotechnology. A lot of the public doesn't understand what they can do with nanotechnology. And if they're allowed to vaccinate the public, then we have lost the battle. I honestly believe that. Especially with the rollout of 5G, you know, we talk about phased array 5G, what they can do when they turn that on. We talk about all the different things in our body that are going to react to 5G, that there's no testing being done. You know, this is a very, very sinister plot, and it's being unrolled on us at a very quick rate, Roger.
Yeah.
I know that's a deep thought, but it is exactly what they're doing, my friend. But, you know, unless people have gone down rabbit holes and kind of looked at some of the stuff they're doing, it might be a little hard to understand, you know, some of the things we're talking about. But everything that they're doing in our world, Roger, it doesn't matter what we talk about, it's connected. Because they run, and they pretty well run everything. You know, at this point, they control the money. They control big pharma. They're spraying chemicals over our sky for years now, and it hasn't come to a stop. Look at what they're doing to our food supply and food shortages that we're reading about. And boy, we want to couple that now with a couple of major geological events I believe we're about to see. Could be an interesting time coming up here very quickly, Roger. And I won't start talking about earthquakes, but it's something I do follow a lot. I think you pay attention to them yourself, and we're seeing a major kick up there right now. So.
Yeah,
this is kind of rocking and rolling, to say the least. But we don't have time to talk about that one. We'll stay on subject here.
Unless there was a big planet making a sweep through the solar system, perturbing all of the geological weak spots into becoming a little bit more active than they usually are. No, I'm not going to go there. Anyway.
Nothing to see there, Roger.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, we won't talk about that one. Let's get back on stuff because we've got about 10 minutes.
I'm willing to do that. All right, so we've talked about who, why, and what. What we haven't talked about is, you know, what are we going to do about it? Okay, and again, we discussed two options. The corporatocracy, which makes communism and Marxism look pale in comparison. A corporatocracy is basically a couple of emperors sitting up at the top telling you whether you can live, breathe, die, what you can eat, what you can't eat, when you can go out and play, where you can go out and play, who you can go out and play with. Yeah, not a joke. That's corporatocracy, okay? Everything is done to function the corporate existence, period. Your significance doesn't count unless you're in a key spot somewhere. But this is what we're looking at. If we put Trump in, I'm not telling you that none of this is going to happen. What I am telling you is that we'll have someone in there as a buffer to maybe give us a little bit more time to see what we can do to negate what we see coming right down the road at us.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with you 100% on that, Roger. I've said many times, I just don't trust anybody in politics, no matter what they're doing. There's always this nagging little voice in my back saying something's going on behind the scenes. But in the same mouthful, right now, what you said is absolutely correct, because what other choice do you have? You have Joe Biden, who, for that guy even to get to the position he is right now, it just makes me wonder what is going on in the United States of America. That's the best the Democratic Party can do. But you know what, Roger? He was put there for a reason. He was put there so he can get knocked out. Carmelia can be put in, and that was the plan from the beginning, why he accepted her as his vice president nominee. It was all planned.
As a matter of fact, she was just announced at one of their massive rallies of about 25 people. She was just introduced as the next president of the United States.
They wouldn't say that, Roger.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, they did.
Roger, everything we've been talking about here, you know, I don't know exactly how many years I've been talking to you. I think it's probably about 7 years now I've been talking to you on radio when I first did, maybe 6 years. But, you know, we go back to our show 6 years ago, and we were talking about exactly what we see unfolding in society right now. So we knew this was coming. I didn't expect to see it come quite as hard as I am seeing it right now, but we're definitely in that period of time where we stand up against this, or our children are really going to pay the price, Roger. Maybe not even that long. Go ahead.
What you and I have been talking about for 7 years. Look, I started the original project, which was We the People Network. It didn't turn into the Liberty Beacon Project for another 2 years after that. But I started that project way back when. And again, everybody listened to what I was saying, and they were like, is he serious? Where is he coming up with this? And about 2 years into it, about 10 years ago, it was like, oh my God, he just keeps going on and on. And about 8 years ago, it was like, you're nuts. And about 6 years ago, it was like, all right, Roger, you need to seek some mental help. Do you know what it is now, Barry? Do you know what it is now? It's just this. It's people saying, you know, just about everything you said is happening. It's right here in our lap. We should have listened to you. You were talking about this when everybody thought you were nuts. I get that more today than I've ever gotten that before in the 12 years I've been working on this project. And it's better late than never. If people are waking up to what's going on around them and starting to remember those people who were saying these things years ago and you thought they were crazy, those are the people you go back to look at.
Well, we're seeing, Roger, tremendous rises in alternative media right now, people that are speaking the truth, because people are waking up. And, you know, I hear it from people the same thing that you're saying. Not that, you know, I don't want to, we're not being vindicated, but we've been talking for years about this to people. And, you know, I've had the same feedback from people that you're nuts, you know, that you're insane, that you're right out in left field, that this can't happen. This is Canada. This is a free country. And stuff you're talking about, that happens overseas. Well, now people are really starting to see some weird things go on in their world, and they're starting to ask questions. And this is the most important time, I think, for us to really kind of put our foot to the floor, because we are starting to we're starting to get to a receptive audience, Roger. And I know you see that. I see it. People that are involved in trying to get people awake right now, we're all seeing it. So interesting time we live in, my friend.
Is that how you call it, interesting?
Well,
I got to tell you something.
It's not interesting. I'll rephrase that, but I'll just keep it politically correct for now. Okay, go ahead.
No. My point here was, I don't think it's interesting. Okay, I think it's exciting, but it depends on how you define the word exciting, because exciting doesn't necessarily mean happy or fun. It doesn't.
We're front row seat right now, Roger. Whatever is going to go down, we're here. I don't know. Were we chosen to be here at this particular time in history? I don't know. I think so. But we are definitely front row seat, and whatever's coming down here in the next couple months, we're going to see it go down, buddy. So it is an exciting time, but I'm kind of concerned about the millions of people that are being led astray by mainstream and what's going to happen here when chaos really erupts in society, how people are going to handle that. Interesting times, my friend.
Yeah, that's an understatement. And hey, Barry, guess what?
Guess what?
You got more than two words in today.
I did so, Roger. And you know what, Roger, we're down to 4 minutes, actually about 2 minutes here. So I'm going to let you quickly plug where people can find you. And I'm going to have to let you go again, buddy, but we'll have you back again. If you're willing, in a couple weeks from now, we'll carry on this conversation after the election's over.
Well, I don't usually say no to you, so that's pretty much a given. And for anybody who's interested, thelibertybeacon.com. And when you go to thelibertybeacon.com, right up at the top, you will see a banner. Click on that, and it takes you to a page with four other news websites we have across the planet, including one in Paris, France. That's where the director lives. One in London, England. That's where the director lives. So we don't tell you we have global websites that are all in America. We have global websites that are literally managed from across the planet. We like being aware, and we're a firm believer that if you can eradicate programmed ignorance, we'll have a much stronger union.
Amen. Roger, thanks again, buddy, for coming in. Always a pleasure having you in, friend. And I'll be back, folks, here in about 3 minutes with Mark Friesen for a conversation about the absolute chaos in Canada right now. Back in a couple minutes. Thanks again, Roger.
Bye. Thank you.
I don't care if everybody else on the entire planet says to me, you have no sovereignty. It's gone. It doesn't matter. I know I have it. I know it. I don't have to be told. I have it. Because I know I have it. Are you going to let the fear extinguish your spirit? Maybe you might think, oh, well, if I say X, Y, Z, they will kill me. Maybe. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But maybe. Well, let me just give you a newsflash. We're all going to die, folks. As far as I can tell, we all die. We come here, we last a certain amount of time. We have a bit of fun. We feel the woes, the joys, the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows. Fear, the hate, the anguish, the love, the compassion. We go through all these things. Loss, gain, shame, embarrassment, elation, abuse, generosity. And then we die. And we leave. We're no longer here, wherever the heck here may be. And while we're here, we decide. You decide. You choose. Your choices creates your life. How you feel about things and the decisions you make based on those feelings directly affects the entire universe. If you're in a bad mood, you're affecting the entire universe. If you're in fear, you're affecting the entire universe. If you feel peace, love, joy, generosity, compassion, you are affecting the entire universe. Why not let that be the effect you have? It is simple. We can do this. Stop fearing it. There's nothing to be afraid of. Do you want to succeed? Then act like it. Behave like it. Go and succeed.
Second hour, folks, and I don't know what happened to Mark Friesen here, because I talked to him a couple, 3 hours ago, and he was all gung-ho to go today, and for some reason, we're not being able to get in touch with Mark. I don't, something must have come up, but, you know, I thought, who can I call in a split second that I could ambush that might just say, yes, I'll come in and chat with you for Barry, because I'm on a spot here, and the first person I kind of thought was Doug Force, and I rung his number, and Doug said, yeah, he'll join me for an hour, so here he is, folks. Thanks, Doug, for coming in on short notice. kind of I had a list of things I was going to talk to Mark about today, but I can talk about them with you if you want, buddy. But I start my show with your pet peeve of the week. So, and also, we got to talk about the hockey game in front of Doug Force's place. That was something else. I wanted to be there. The nets were really small, and I'm a goalie, Doug, so nobody would have got a goal that day, but it was something to watch, I'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Old Dougie got the message.
Yeah, well, I mean, by the way, I'm not in Toronto right now. I'm in Regina, Saskatchewan. I'm on the road. I started my road tour about almost a week ago now.
Right. You told me you're doing that. But yeah. I didn't know you were actually on the road yet. So great. So how do you like Regina?
Well,
kind of flat.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the Prairie Provinces, and there's nothing wrong with flat. You know.
I want to give him the pot.
I had a nice meeting today with a group of people that came out to see me, and it was a lot of fun. And so, yeah, I'm having a good time meeting people. Up close and personal. So it's a good thing.
You've got your mask on and you're socially distancing, of course, right?
Funny enough, here in Regina and pretty much most of Saskatchewan, yes, they're mandatory masks. And about, I would say, 70% of the population refuses to wear.
Well, it should be 100%, but we're working on that, Doug. We're working on it.
Well, and
I'm still blown away walking around in public, how many people, even my little town, are cutting their lawns and driving around in their cars themselves with a mask over the face. But I think we're starting to get to them. I really do. I looked at the rally yesterday in Toronto, and that was good. That was, I see a real increase in numbers in Toronto. Except for that one there a couple weeks ago when we had the rally in Vancouver and the one in Toronto at the same time. I guess there was 10,000 people out that day. But it looked like about 3,000 people out yesterday in Toronto. And Ed told me it's somewhere around there. So that's encouraging, Doug.
Well, it is. And good old Dougie Ford is sticking his foot in his mouth on an almost daily basis now. We're having a second wave and we have a case-demic now. It's no longer a pandemic. It's a case-demic. The last supposed death of COVID-19 was in July of this year. They actually stopped testing for COVID-19, and now they test for the coronavirus, the common cold.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's beyond ludicrous that people can't look at numbers, and people are allowing the government to ram these tyrannical new laws down your throat. It scares me that some people are still going along with this, because to me, Doug, I'm not a super intelligent guy. I've got this figured out. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what these guys are doing. If you go by the numbers themselves just blow this thing right out the door. And yet, public's still going along with it. You're right, it's a case-demic. We're not seeing a rise in deaths. All we're seeing is a tremendous rise in cases being documented by the government. Of course, because we all carry this virus. Is that correct, Doug?
Well, and that's just it. You know, Barry, they're using PCR testing, which the creator of that test said should not be used for infectious diseases because you get too high of false positives, anywhere from 85 to 95% false positives. But the government loves these false positives because they use them look at the cases have jumped by so much, and it's all false positives.
Say, Barry.
And it's just ridiculous.
Yes.
Ed called me. Steve. Ed called me, so I brought him in. He's got something breaking.
Okay, well, I'm sure we could accommodate Ed for a few comments today. Doug, can we accommodate Ed, that old guy from Ontario there?
Absolutely. I love Ed. Hey, Ed, how you doing, bro?
How you doing, Ed?
Good, Barry. Doug? So, Barry, you're talking about the hockey game in front of Ford's house. You wanted to be there. You could have shown up.
Well, it's just a little bit, getting into my car would take me a little while to get there, and by then it would be dark, so I kind of blew that off. And if you want to get in your airplane anytime and fly me across the country, Ed, I've said to you many times, I will put my life in your hands. You can come out, pick me up at the Terrace Airport, and I would love to fly across Canada. I can even throw 10 or 20 bucks in the fuel tank for you.
Okay, so that 10 or 20 bucks will basically be enough to check if we got water in the tanks.
Well, it's the startup mode. Anyways, you got Derek Story with you, too, correct?
Yeah, he's just outside. They're getting ready to go to Ottawa, and I'm sure he'll be stepping back in here in a minute. They're just getting ready to leave. Okay. They were out in Windsor. There was a protest there. I don't know if you noticed. But they stopped the some of the truck traffic going across the Peace Bridge or whatever that bridge is going to Detroit.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Like Black Lives Matter kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's kind of more like an Extinction Rebellion. Now they're starting to copy Antifa. I was kind of joking about that. But they're trying to make a point, and I think they were getting some pretty good responses. And within 5 minutes, they backed up the trucks almost a good mile and a half.
Oh, good grief.
Police are pretty quick. 4 minutes to respond.
So, Derek, I want to say hi to Derek.
Give me a minute and I'll bring them in. Hang on a second.
Sure.
So Ed, what are they going to do in Ottawa?
Oh, there's always something going on, more reporting. You know, Trudeau, he can't, every time the guy turns around, he's doing something fraudulent or something scandalous or something illegal or, you know, now I heard they're also talking about bringing in laws where politicians will have no liability.
Oh, good.
Well, that's what they're going to build 218 in Ontario and build C-19 in British Columbia here. I mean, they've already rammed it through. People didn't even know what they were doing in British Columbia here, and they rammed this through. We're basically, we have no recourse on the government at all, any shape or form, for anything done wrong during this emergency, this medical emergency, this 15-day shutdown so that we can flatten the curve 9 months ago. And now they're talking, what, another couple years? Come on, folks, yeah, wake up. Go ahead.
Yeah, they start doing this, Barry, and people are going to start getting violent. And that's not a good thing.
No, they're pushing the buttons.
Look for recourse, my friend.
Well, they are pushing people's buttons. You know, we got to realize there's a reason they're doing this.
Yeah.
That they want people to start fighting each other and really getting pissed off. And they're being effective with it because now people are starting to look at what's going on in this country and they're really starting to ask some hard questions. You can't get an answer from the government, of course. I mean, they're the best people in the world at avoiding questions. I can't believe that you cannot get an honest question out of the people that we're paying to represent us. This has gone so far now, it's almost to a point where I'm wondering if we can get it back. Of course we can, but go ahead, guys. Go ahead.
Well,
Derek, are you with us?
Give me a second. Derek's just outside for a minute, and he'll be here in a minute. Go ahead, Doug.
Okay. What do you think Doug?
If the government wants no liability for what they're doing, then they're not the government. And they have to be then taken out. What's his name? Brian... gosh, I can't remember his last name. He's been going around trying to arrest Trudeau, and then he tried to arrest Doug Ford.
Yep.
But we need to do this en masse. We need to get tens of thousands of people, maybe even hundreds of thousands of people together to go and arrest these criminals, because that's what they are. They cannot have no liability. The government is there for the people, by the people, and if they claim no liability, then they're not there for the people, by the people, and need to be arrested as criminals. And if the police won't do it, then we, the people, need to rise up and do it ourselves.
Well, it's getting to that point, isn't it?
Because
we have no accountability in our government, any shape or form. We have a government in Canada right now that they're all ahead of the same snake. It doesn't matter who we talk about. They're all globalist agenda, with the exception of, now, I might get pushback against this, but the only option I see right now in Canada, right now, that could garnish any kind of attention would be the PPC, and I've looked at their platform. I don't agree with any form of government. I think it's all bullcrap. But in the meantime, we have a problem here. We've got to stop the insanity. We've got to stop the bleeding in Canada right now. And the only option I see myself, looking at this from a logical point of view, is the PPC party, because of what they've got in their platform. None of this is being talked about by any other platform in Canada. So I'll leave it at that, but you know how I feel about government. Government is government, and it doesn't matter who gets in there. It always seems to go south, but I think that's our only logical choice right now.
Well, and the problem with the PPC, the P, PPC, sorry about that, is that we're, what, 3.5 to 4 years away from the next election? It's too late at that point to reverse what they're trying to do. We need to take steps today, not tomorrow and not in 3 or 4 years. And we need to rise up against this tyranny. And the only way we can do that is to do the citizens' arrests of these politicians that claim to have no liability. I mean, this is King George all over again in the 1700s with taxation without representation in the United States. And they rose up against the tyranny of the British Empire and won. We need to rise up over the tyranny of these local de facto governments and put an end to this. But not with, we don't need guns and we don't need to shoot these people, but we need to do this in a proper, legal and lawful way of citizens' arrests and in mass. Not one or two guys that that go out and try to do this, and then you know people laugh at them. Oh, you know you're just one guy. Can you imagine 10,000 people marching up to Doug Ford's home and dragging him out in handcuffs and putting him in jail and holding him to account?
Well, I'd gladly join that group, Doug. You just fly me home. Come and get me.
But something needs to be done, and we the people need to come together, all of us, not fight amongst ourselves, but have this common goal to end the tyranny of these de facto governments. And the only way we can do that is to come together under one umbrella and take this upon ourselves, take personal responsibility, and to go out and do this. If we don't, then, you know, they're going to win, and that means that your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are going to be slaves. So, I mean, if you're willing to sit on the couch and allow that to happen, that's sad. That's very sad.
Well, I know I'm not going to let that happen. Well, I got a breath left in my body, Doug, and I'm sure that Ed and Derek feel the same way. Is Derek Ipsis now there, Ed, or is he still outside?
I don't know. He's still outside, but I don't know why he hasn't come back. But anyways, the Brian Kidder story, I don't know if you want to...
What's going on in Ottawa? Go ahead. Go ahead, Ed.
Do you want me to give you guys, your viewers or listeners, a update on what Brian Kidder is all about and what he's doing? Have you spoken about him?
Yeah, go for it, Ed.
Yeah, speak about him, please, Ed.
Okay, so Brian Kidder, he's in his 60s, early 60s right now. He had a workplace injury. Actually, as a bouncer, he got attacked, and he got beaten up pretty bad. And he ended up in the hospital, head injuries. I believe he had some type of... I don't know if it's an aneurysm but he's had some condition where he's actually lost his driver's license. He lost his truck driving license, so he couldn't even drive truck. And he ended up fighting WSIB or Workman's Comp here in Ontario. And he got denied and pretty much, you know, how it goes when you got a young family and, things are going reasonably well. And then suddenly you got a workplace injury and the money stops. Marriages fall apart. You lose your house. And it's just a slope downward and totally unrelated, but well, somewhat related. In Canada, they say about 30% of the people that are actually on the street are as a result of workplace injuries. So you're working day to day, and I hope your American listeners won't get too offended by this. But here in Canada, we've got mandatory workers' compensation coverage. Every company must pay into it. It's not optional anymore. It used to be optional back in the 80s and 90s, but that went away a long time ago. And what companies benefit by having WSIB compensation board premiums and coverages, you are not allowed to be sued by your employees. But as an employee, you are supposed to be taken care of if there is a workplace injury. Unfortunately, more than half of the cases that go to WSIB get declined. I can't put an exact number on it, but a lot of cases that get declined. So these people end up losing everything, and they end up on welfare, or the lucky ones get on a limited government pension for disability, I believe it, or medical reasons. But it pays peanuts. Basically, you're just living barely below the poverty line, and you don't get rehabbed, and life is pretty much over for you. So anyways, Brian Kidder's been fighting these guys for about 14 or 15 years now since he had the accident.
Just mute me for a second.
He had a claim, And it got, the hearing was like 6 or 7 years later, and then they finally decided, yeah, he was entitled to it, so he was going to get a bulk payout. And he figured, well, I got this far. Found out that a lot of other people are getting thrown to the streets. And he's been digging into all this and getting himself educated on admiralty law and the laws of the land, laws of Ontario, and federal laws. And there's actually laws saying that if a worker is injured, and it's a real injury, that they must be paid from the time that they're injured. Unfortunately, WSIB plays around with a lot of people. There's unfunded liabilities. It's a whole big mess. But anyways, the reason why he's trying to make arrests on Doug Ford, Trudeau, Kathleen Wynne, other politicians is because they knew this was going on. This goes way back even to Stephen Harper when they figured, okay, we've got so many huge amounts of people on WSIB. The premiums they pay are supposed to be about between 70 and 80% of what your pre-tax wages were, but they're not getting that money. They're just ending up on the street. They're getting buried in the paperwork. And he's been offended by this, and he's actually educated himself. He's tried to arrest Trudeau, what is it, 9 or 10 times already, failed so far, and he gets arrested. A couple hours later, he's back out on the street. They never charge him. So even the cops are learning, once they learn what the laws are of the land and various sections that have been hidden, they're letting them go.
Well, I say kudos to him. You know, I mean, sure, you know, he's not getting anywhere, but he's bringing attention to what's going on in our country. And I say is kudos. I mean, it'd be cool if everybody did that. Like Doug said, man, if we could get 10,000 people in Canada all of a sudden appear on Doug Force's door and arrest him. And we have the right to civilly arrest our public politicians if they're criminally involved in activities that we can prove. And they are. Doug Ford, man, you know what? Honestly, a lot of people said how he's just a player. He's just playing the game. All he's saying right now in his election platform is BS. He'll throw it out the door. And I almost believed the guy was the real deal. But right away, of course, he showed us that he wasn't, that he's just another player. So we got major problems in Canada right now in our political system. Getting rid of all these players is a monumental task right now. It really is.
Well, Doug, and here's the other thing, Barry and Ed. We know that Lukashenko, the president of Belarus, was offered $942 million to shut his country down, and he declined. And we know that this is the truth because 3 days after he declined, they started a color revolution, overthrow him, and put in somebody that would take the bribe to shut his country down. Now, so far, he's been able to fend that off. But here's the question that I would ask Doug Ford and Chrystia Freeland and all the other premiers. How much did you guys take to shut your provinces down? And Krista, how much did you take to shut down Canada? Because that's what I would arrest them. I would arrest them for taking bribes from the World Bank and the IMF and John Tory in Toronto met with Bill Gates. How much did Bill Gates pay you, John, to shut the city of Toronto down? You know, and this stuff is provable. Okay. And yes, they may exempt themselves from liability for people wearing masks and people social distancing and people using hand sanitizers and getting poison vaccines. They might exempt themselves from that, but they certainly can't exempt themselves from being bribed because that's a criminal act. Period.
Well, all we've got to do is prove it, Doug. And I believe the proof is there now of what they're doing. So, you know, we're in a real pickle right now in Canada. I don't think a lot of Canadians realize the danger our country really is in right now and how fast it could turn on us. I mean, right now it would only take, in my opinion, one major false flag to turn things right upside down. And we know they have used false flags all through history to bring society into control mechanisms. And I can see them doing that in the very near future because they are starting to lose the information war that people really are. You look at the amount of people that are showing up on the streets in Europe right now. And of course, there is absolutely no coverage of that on mainstream media, but they're showing up in the streets by the millions. And boy, I'll tell you, people are really starting to get it. And this is the time that we really have to wake up. What do you think there, Ed? Is it going to happen? Are we going to lose this? I don't want to lose it. We can't lose it.
You know what? A lot of people were complacent for many, many, many years. Myself, you know, I was asleep at the wheel, basically, you know, living life, you know, trying to work hard, save a little bit of money for retirement, et cetera, living the good life. And I figured, you know, government, now, if you get into government, you got to be honest. You got to be willing to do what's right. Boy, was I wrong. But, yeah, we're starting late, definitely. But people are waking up in the millions, literally. If you look at the numbers of people that showed up during the first lockdown from May through August, we were lucky to get 300 to 400 people showing up at Queen's Park. And then 3 weeks ago, we had close to 10,000 people.
Yeah, I heard. That was that's impressive, Ed. Same thing in Vancouver. There was there a couple weeks ago. There was a pretty good turnout, and all we can do right now is just hope that we can get these people wearing the masks away, because those are the ones that are going to roll up their sleeve and take this vaccine. And I'll tell you, anybody that takes this vaccine, I've looked at the information on this, buddy. This is beyond insanity, folks. To bring a vaccine forward this fast, an RNA vaccine, and I'm not a scientist, I'm not a doctor, but I've listened to enough of them to understand this is absolute insanity. We talked earlier in the first show there, Doug, about and Ed, about nanotechnology and what they can do with nanotechnology. And, you know, people aren't aware of what they can do with that, and that alone should terrify people, what they can actually get into your body without you even knowing it's being there. And they have that technology now. So what are they going to put in this vaccine? Boy, oh, boy. Tell them about it, Doug, because well, you know about it.
I'm going to do a shameless plug for tomorrow night. I'm doing a Concerned Parents Roundtable again, and we're having both Christine Colbeck and Amanda Forbes from Children's Health Defense Canada coming on for that. And if you want to learn about vaccines and the problems with them, please tune in 9 p.m. Eastern on The Myth Is Canada on Facebook and The Myth Is Canada on YouTube. Sorry for the shameless plug, but I figured we're going to talk about vaccines. These people, boy, do they know their stuff. And they've started now in Ontario. They've filed over 100 lawsuits.
Wow.
Yeah.
What time is that, Doug?
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. your time, Pacific, 7 Mountain, and 8. I'm going to be doing it from Regina myself. I'll be here. Doug Force on the road. Doing a roundtable.
Okay, well, I know that a lot of our audience is overseas, so they won't be awake at that time of day. But if you're in North America, it'd probably be a good idea to tune in and listen to what they're saying, because I know I will. We need to bring this information forward right now. We need to educate the public exactly what the agenda of this government is, Doug. It's beyond evil. It really is.
And the beautiful thing about Children's Health Defense Canada, it's the Canadian arm of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s Children's Health Defense of the U.S. And so they've now come here in Canada, and he's got something like 30 million followers in the U.S. on his platform for Children's Health Defense. And so Amanda and Christine are so lucky to have been working. They work directly with him. And now we have that arm here in Canada for our people here. I think it's wonderful. And these ladies are amazingly well-informed about what's been going on. Christine Colbeck, I don't know her background. She was the vice president of Vaccine Choice Canada and worked hand-in-glove with Rocco Galati to file the lawsuit that Rocco Galati did back in August against the federal government, the provincial government, and the CBC and the city of Toronto. Both these ladies are very active in exposing this fraud. And I think it's going to be a great roundtable. If you're interested and you have a few minutes and you'd like to join us, I'm sure I could send you a link and you could pop in and join us for a few minutes. Like I say, Barry, if you have interest in doing that tomorrow night.
Well, I love these ladies you're talking about. I've been listening to them, Doug, and you know, it's really nice to listen to people that are passionate about what they're talking about, because you feel their hearts, you really do, when they're talking. And the whole thing about vaccines, you know, I've been looking at this for years, and to me, guys, I just cannot justify vaccines at all in our world. And I say that because all through human history, our bodies got this thing called the immune system. And when the immune system is exercised and it's worked properly, that immune system can take care of just about anything. Today's world, we're vaccinating kids for measles, for chickenpox, just a wide spectrum. We look at the rise in vaccines in our society, and then we compare that with a graph of rise in autism in our society. And if that doesn't really get your attention, I don't know what to say, because the graphs are almost identical. That simply in 1969, I believe it was 1 in 25,000 were diagnosed with autism. And today we see those numbers at 50 and 28 for boys and girls, respectively. The World Health Organization is telling us by the year 2025 that 1 in 2 children born in the world will be autistic. Well, where are we going? What kind of a society would that be, folks? Think about that. How many years is that away? That's 5 years away? And we're going to have a society where parents will never be able to have a normal life, that they'll be looking after their child till they die, and then the child will go to some government agency and be looked after the day it dies. Is that where we're going? Well, that's where we are going right now. And to me, vaccines are a eugenics program. They don't belong in our society. That our immune system, if treated properly, if we're eating the right food and we're treating our bodies properly, there isn't nothing our body basically can't fight off.
Can I add something, Barry?
So, I mean, go ahead, add. I just my thoughts on vaccines for a minute. And we could really dwell into it deeply on some of the stats. We don't have time to do that, but that's my feelings on vaccine, guys. Go ahead.
No, Barry, it's also been told by the Obama's science czar, Cass Sunstein, that anybody with a mental disorder in the future, or maybe it's even implemented right now, won't be able to buy a weapon to protect themselves. They won't be able to fly anywhere in the world. And they're going to be one of the most controlled demographic groups in America. Anyways, I'm not sure about the world, but in America.
Interesting. Yeah, I've heard that before, too.
Yeah, they passed, I think it was at the state level, Steve, wasn't it? That they passed this at the state level as well, that anybody who's brought in for a 72-hour psych evaluation and is found to be psychologically unfit,
yes,
they get to confiscate their guns.
Yes, and actually anybody that gets a marijuana license here in Michigan, and pretty much all of America, they won't be able to buy a weapon to protect themselves. Yeah.
What?
Well, it's a circumvention of the Second Amendment.
Yes.
Let me get this straight.
Hang on. So people are drinking alcohol, they can get guns, right? But people running around smoking a little bit of reefer, they can't get guns?
No, you can smoke pot, just don't get a license for it. A lot of states are getting it recreational now. Just don't get your license to sell it.
Huh. Okay, well, that's a little bit different story. But you can't stop people from getting a gun license or a firearm because they're consuming cannabis. But it might get to that point. You never.
But know. Don't get caught with it either.
Don't get caught with it in Canada now. If it's over now, so they'll put you in jail.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a silly, silly thing. I mean, you and I had a great show. Was it last week that we did the cannabis and hemp? I think you and I talked for about an hour on this stuff. It's amazing what an amazing plant we have here, not just for recreational use, but for all kinds of usage. Why would they make laws to make cannabis illegal? Well, they did that, as you know, to protect the plastics industry and DuPont Chemical at that time, along with part of the oil industry wanted it to be. And they couldn't make hemp illegal. They had to actually create a name for it. So they took the name marijuana, which is a Spanish or a Mexican name for dope. It means D-O-P-E. Doesn't mean cannabis. And so they made marijuana illegal and not hemp, which is ridiculous. And now,
recognize it, of course.
Well, now with this Moderna, with their mRNA vaccine, which means messenger RNA, which is based on CRISPR. In other words, it changes your DNA. Now, the change that they'll make to your DNA is a patented piece of DNA that they will insert into your DNA, and suddenly you become owned. You're no longer considered a human being. you're no longer you're considered now to be patented. Okay, and if you're no longer a human being and you're no longer a man or a woman, then you no longer have unalienable rights, and hence you don't have the right to bear arms. So go ahead and take your vaccines, ladies and gentlemen. You will no longer become have the ability to protect yourself. You will no longer have the right to bear arms. And I believe that that's the way they're going to get around the 13th Amendment in the United States Constitution, which doesn't allow for involuntary slavery. But if you're owned because your DNA has been changed, and now that it's patented, so now you're owned. You're no longer a man or a woman with unalienable rights. You're now a piece of property owned by Bill Gates. Ain't that cool?
I'm not laughing at the insanity of it. I'm laughing at the insanity of it, Doug. I really am, because you know, people are listening to this conversation right now. If they hadn't done any kind of looking into the background of what you're talking about right now, you sound like an absolute nutcase. But I know you're not a nutcase, because I've looked into this myself. And how do you describe these people? To me, they're evil entities from hell. That's what I call them. Because I have no other way of describing. These people want to play God. They believe they are God. And that's where they're taking us right now, folks. What do you think, Ed? Seeing you're sitting in here?
Actually, it's Derek now.
Oh, Derek, you joined us. How you doing, bud? You're heading to Ottawa, I hear.
Yeah. So yeah, you're gonna go last minute to choice. I just came back from Windsor.
And?
And they had a little protest there, and they slowed down traffic for about 5 minutes to prove a point that they can make the government listen, I guess.
And what group was that that did that?
It's just a bunch of local people. There's about 30 or 40 or 50 of them that stopped the traffic there at the Ambassador Bridge.
Cool. And then, of course, the police came in and broke up that.
Yeah, pretty quick.
They weren't Black Lives Matter, right?
No, they weren't Black Lives Matter at all.
No,
they're stopping the goods coming into Canada, not going out. It's completely opposite.
Okay. Well, so you're going up to Ottawa now. What's going on in Ottawa again? Fill us in.
You know what? I'm just going to see what's happening there, poke around, and, you know. I don't know. Okay. I'm just winging it now. I'm getting ready to do my annual trip out west soon, so.
Yeah, I'm sorry you weren't ready to go when I was ready to go.
Yeah, well, it happens, but whatever, you know.
Because you'd be here in Regina with me right now.
Yeah, it would be.
So anyway, what's your next stop there? What is your next stop, Doug?
I'm heading north up to do a couple of places, one in Chamberlain, and I can't remember the name of the other place. I've got meetings on Tuesday, and then I'm going on into Chamberlain on Wednesday night, Thursday, meeting with Rudy Bruce, and going to do a live stream with Rudy from up there. And then I'm off to Saskatoon on Friday and Saturday. And I'm hoping to hook up with Timothy Paul and Mark Friesen and a few other people in Saskatoon. And then on Sunday, I'm heading out to Edmonton. And I'll be there for a few days.
Are you driving?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you're driving in winter roads in Ontario and across Canada, so I take my hat off to you, because they can get really ugly this time of year.
Yeah, I got really good snow tires on the vehicle. I'm brand new. I put them on literally the day before I left, and it was great. I ran into a little snow and ice coming out through Thunder Bay and on the way into Winnipeg, coming through northern Ontario there at the top of Lake Superior. But nothing the vehicle couldn't handle, and it was okay.
Cool. Well, just don't kill yourself. We need you.
No.
So I guess your tent thing in Ottawa, that's done for the year now, I guess, Derek?
Yeah, they tore that down a couple weeks ago.
Probably getting a little chilly.
Oh, yeah, it was getting cold.
Well, you made a point anyway, so I applaud what you guys did this summer. You brought a lot of attention to what's going on.
Well, it started a lot of good talking points on the street, you know.
Well, that's what it's all about right now, isn't it? Kind of getting in front of people's faces and kind of letting them know that we've got a big problem on our hands. And boy, do we ever have a problem right now.
Very big problem.
Well, it also opened up a lot of doors across Canada with what you guys were doing up there with your live videos that you were doing, Derek, through Noble Savages, what Wayne Peters was doing on Wake Up Canada, and what we were doing with the roundtables from the War Memorial. And so myself, and Wayne really opened up a lot of doors right across Canada, Quebec, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and all the way out through the West Coast, that really turned a lot of people's heads, which is what we need to do. We need to continue to go down this path.
Well, yeah, we have to stand out a little bit more than what we do, you know, a little bit of, peaceful civil disobedience, you know, something that stands out for people to notice and really take a look and do their own investigation on what's going on. It really, changes their mindset a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I've actually, my room in my house here, I put rubber on the walls because I've been banging my head against it, trying to figure out how we can get to do that. You know, I'm getting headaches, buddy, and bruises on my forehead. So I put a little rubber on the walls. It seems to help a lot now.
Well, that's good.
You know what, Derek? I believe, honestly, that there is people that are going to wake up, but there's also a percentage of society that won't wake up until they're either knocking at the door or their lives are all of a sudden being impacted in ways that never seen before. Yeah, and they want to get in.
And unfortunately, it's going to happen quicker than they think. You know, they think it's never going to happen to them, and watch it, tomorrow they get hit. You know, you never know.
Well, look what this government's doing now. Look at the laws that they're being passed to protect them against all this bullcrap going on with this COVID thing, man. The biggest scam ever played on the human race. It is just unbelievable that people can't think for themselves.
I mean, no, they want other people to do their thinking for them.
Well, that's where they've got us. They've got a large sector of society brainwashed to the point where they just don't even want to question what's being fed to them on a regular basis. Those are the people that scare me the most. Those are the ones that are going to roll up their arm and take this vaccine. But I think there's enough smart people out there that will put a stop to this madness. We really don't have a choice right now because we're at a tipping point. We could lose this country. And people say that can't happen. Well, I hate to differ with you, but it can happen and it will happen.
If you look back in history, it's happened to many other countries, you know, that have gotten overtaken and, famine start, death, people start getting killed. Like, it's like the other day on Halloween and at the Chateau Frontenac where the guy with a samurai sword injured 5 people and killed 2 right in front of the hotel.
Yeah, I read about that.
You know,
have they released the nationality of that gentleman yet?
Not yet, no. But they're probably not going to, because that's what they usually do, right?
I wonder why.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in knowing, wouldn't you? Wouldn't the Canadian public be interested in knowing?
Absolutely. Aren't they supposed to report
that stuff? I thought that was the job of the media. Where am I?
Yeah, I mean, look what the media is doing. You want to see the job of the media. So Joe Biden's son is with his laptop and Bobulinski and all this other stuff. The only media outlet reporting on this is Fox News, and now Fox News is watching. People are they've increased their into the Democrats. They got these borderline Democrats now that are watching Fox News for the first time, because that's the only news. That's the only way they can find out what's really going on with this this laptop stuff and what's going on with the big guy, you know. It's really, really interesting to see their demographic at Fox News still has the conservatives, but now they've got a whole new demographic of Democrat liberals coming on board and watching their stuff. It's really interesting.
Well, maybe they're coming to the realization that they're either going to see their country destroyed or they're going to get on board and stop the madness. And I believe that a lot of them do still have a heart and still have a soul. And I think there's a lot of soul searching going on inside the Democratic Party right now. I honestly believe that. And of course, they're getting a lot of pressure from the people that have elected them. I mean, they're hearing from their people all the time. So it's an interesting time, isn't it, Doug? When you see
it really is, because then there's liberals, okay, that are not socialists, but they want to help others who are less fortunate than them. And these are the liberals that are just on the other side of the left, right? They're there, they're mainstream liberals. And they're now the ones that actually do elect the Democrat Party because they don't get down into the fringe sect. They don't get into the communist section of the Democrat Party. They don't get into the heavily socialist section of the Democrat Party. And these guys are losing their base because their base is now watching Fox News and watching the exposure of the big guy and his crackhead son taking millions of dollars from these various governments, the Ukraine government. Joe Biden was at a rally today, and it was his people, right? And from the crowd, this guy yelled, "You're a liar. Quit lying." And Biden responded to him, "What do you mean I'm lying?" And then the guy says, "What about your son's laptop? And what about you taking money? You were at the CFR, and you admitted to threatening the president of the Ukraine for withholding $1 billion if he didn't fire the prosecutor. Yes. So you're a liar." And then the crowd started to yell, "Liar, liar, liar."
Wow. I didn't see that one,
I didn't see that either.
I can see that.
I just caught it on Facebook about half an hour ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, holy moly.
You know what? There isn't a snowball chance in hell of Biden winning this election legally, as far as I can see. If they steal it, you're going to hear a cry like you've never heard in the United States of America before, because...
Oh, you thought the last time they cried.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I just don't see it. I don't see there's any chance in the world of this man getting in. And if he does, it'll be absolute license. So interesting to see what happens this week and where it's going to go. But I can't see anything but a landslide right now for Donald Trump.
You clearly see it on the media.
I'm not a Trump fan, guys. Let me make it clear. I've always stated that. I always believe that anybody gets to position like Donald Trump has made a deal somewhere, some with someone, but in the same mouthful of the amount of good things that this man has done for the United States of America, it's kind of got me sitting on the fence right now and kind of just sitting back. We'll see what he does after the elections. If he goes ahead, to me, the real test will be if Trump goes ahead and brings forward vaccines, because anybody that does that would raise a lot of questions in my mind, especially with the fact that who's bringing this vaccine forward? The fact that normally vaccines are tested, I believe, for about 7 years before they're brought to the public. To run this through at this speed would really speak to me something nefarious going on behind the scenes. What do you think about that, Doug? Your thoughts?
Well, and here's an interesting. I watched a video 2 days ago. I think it was on the Colbert Report, and they were talking about Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and another vaccine company are no longer making vaccines for COVID-19 because they said that COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2 doesn't exist. So now they've changed the type of vaccines they're making to help people with coronavirus or the common cold. So these vaccines will stop you from getting the sniffles or a scratchy throat. I'm not joking.
Really?
They announced.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you go on to the Colbert Report on his channel. I subscribe, so I get these things. And he does this show once a week with himself and this other gentleman. And it was the first 20 minutes of that show. So it's only about two shows ago that you can go there. What I'll do is I'll see if I can't find it onto YouTube, and I'll post it up on the Myth is Canada Facebook page for people to go see. Because it's well worth watching. It just blew me away that they actually admitted that this COVID-19 doesn't exist, and so they've switched the vaccines to combat the common cold.
Well, the Canadian government came out and stated they can't isolate the virus, folks. Duh? What does that mean? Think about that for a second, guys. Come on. We're down to 7 minutes here. This hour is going to go really quick. I knew that. We got great guys in here talking right now, but I'm going to pass it around the table, and I'm going to let you gentlemen share a couple thoughts with people before we shut the show up for the week. And I'll start with Derek over there. If you're up to it, Derek, a couple thoughts, and where people can find you.
Well, I can start with, I don't really have any thoughts. I just kind of got back from my trip there, but I see. My one thought is I'm seeing an uprise, even in the smallest little communities, which is great. You know, people are standing up. They're sick and tired of what's going on, and I want that to keep moving. Just don't think that winter's coming doesn't mean you can't stand up for your freedoms. You know, we stood through the winter, the cold winters during the yellow vest. We can do it again. You know. But with that being said, keep up the fight, guys. You can find me on Facebook under Derek Story. I have a Noble Savages group page where you can share stuff, your information. And I have my YouTube channel, Noble Savages, on YouTube. You can find me there. Check out my latest content. I've been busting out some pretty good content lately, especially with the Brian Kidder story. So if you guys haven't heard about that, go check that out. I have it in a playlist. And that's about it.
Cool. Thanks for coming in, Derek.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
No problem. And Ed, what do you think?
Ed stepped out to go to Costco.
Went to Costco? Has he got his mask on?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, Doug, I'm going to pass it to you then, bud.
Okay, well, I'll give you some shameless plug. We're doing the Roundtable of Concerned Parents of Canada tomorrow night with Amanda Forbes and Christine Kolbeck, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Tune into that. And the following Monday, on November the 9th, we have a very special event happening. I have David Icke and Rocco Galati in a conversation. And that is at noon Eastern on Monday, November the 9th. And we're going to be doing that. It's probably going to go 2 hours rather than our usual 1 hour format, but it's going to just be a conversation between David Icke and Rocco Galati. And you really don't want to miss that one. That one's going to be quite amazing.
Well, about getting two very, very intelligent gentlemen together. I'm looking forward to that. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was going to say, and we're going to live stream it out through The Myth is Canada on Facebook and The Myth is Canada on YouTube. And you can come onto our YouTube platform and subscribe, and that way you'll get the updates for both of these roundtables and for future roundtables that we're going to be having. And I'm hoping that you'll be a participant, Barry, in future roundtables. And Derek, I'm hoping I'm going to get to have you on a roundtable or two as well.
Hey, you know, I'm always up for a roundtable, Doug, so I look forward to any chance to talk to intelligent people. And some of the people you're getting in are really what I call intelligent people, so I'm thankful to be invited because I'm just an old bald-headed fart that's kind of looking at things with common sense, and I can't find any of these days anywhere. So it'd be good, to join you.
Is that old expression, common sense is not so common?
Well, it seems to have disappeared in our world now that, you know, people can't think for themselves. And, you know, we could talk for an hour why society has gotten to that point. What's happened to people's brains, what's happened to their physical stamina, their very physical being, and how it's all related to where we find ourselves today. That, you know, our bodies are weak, our immune systems are weak, everybody seems to be getting sick. I have people my age dropping dead all around me right now. It's unbelievable what's happening in society. Brain tumors are on the rise in children right now at an unprecedented rate. And try to explain that one, guys. Well, we know it's all tied to these eugenics programs, to these vaccination programs. What they're doing to the human race right now, well, I honestly have to believe in my heart that one day that these very evil, evil demons will be held accountable. And I know they will be. Being a Christian, I know one day they're going to have to stand in front of a much higher power than me and answer for their sins. And I take great solace and peace knowing that, even though right now they are raising hell on our planet. So thanks, folks, for joining me this week. Thanks to Doug and Derek and Ed for stopping in. Thanks to Roger. Always great having you guys in, and look forward to talking to you again in the very near future. Thanks to people who have tuned in today and given us a chance to share through thoughts with you. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. You guys have a great week, and talk to you real soon. Bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.